Proverbs 19 and verse 21. There are many devices, plans, schemes, actions, thoughts in a man's heart. They're almost endless. Nevertheless, the counsel. Now, first off the bat, look at the one's plural and one singular. There are many devices over and over, met with failure, miserable failure, vain imagination. There are many devices in a man's heart. Wakes up in the morning and says, I'm going to do this. I don't care what God says. I'm doing this. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. That's immovable. That's the rock of Gibraltar. And if you know Christ tonight, that's our rock. That's your rock. Because we are tossed. And even we as believers, we plan things. We devise things. And if it's not according to His will, it doesn't pan out. I heard somebody at the conference make a comment. Somebody was going to get a paper, you know, pick up the Sunday paper or the Monday paper and said, I'm going to go see what God has done. Because we don't know what He's doing tomorrow, but we know what He's done. And we look back, but we know tomorrow He's doing His good pleasure. So here we have, in this one verse, we have the great contrast. We've got man and we've got God. We've got basically the candle versus the sun. We've got a glass of water versus the oceans. We've got the finite versus the infinite. Perhaps there's never been a greater and disproportioned gap than these two. One old writer worded it this way. There's never been a greater gap, a greater disproportion than this, the worm and his maker. The worm and his maker. It's a gulf. It's a huge gap. So we have two points, basically. We've got man and his devices, and we've got God and his counsel. Here we behold man. There are many devices in a man's heart. And they're not all bad. They're not all evil. I'm not suggesting that, but I'm saying man in his boasted free will, man in his boasted intellect, strength, numbers, financial prowess, whatever you want to say, he thinks he's the top of the food chain. Here we behold man in all his wisdom and discernment and his creations, yet often very weak and with many failures. Uncertainty abounds in the devices of man, in his heart. His imaginations are often vain and never at ease. When's enough? When is enough enough? Guy, I saw a paper, won two lotteries, didn't he? In Missouri, up by St. Louis. He won twice. And what, a month or two? Is in, you know, in not in the paper, but it was on the online. Baldwin, Missouri, somewhere up there. Never enough. It's never enough. Man, many devices in a man's heart. Anxious care eats away upon man's desire and devices like a canker or a disease. Never stable, never steady. Man's devices are many, plural, the counsel of the Lord. That shall stand. It's one. The counsel of the Lord is unified like the three in one. Man's devices are many and often at odds. God's counsel is one. It's unified. It's rock solid. It's steadfast. It's sure. Oftentimes, we entertain ideas, man does, of lofty grandeur and heady and high-minded speculation. Yet, we start to lose these thoughts as we grow older. And our inconsistencies begin to abound as we get up in years. Now, the funny thing is, when Lynn and I talk, and I talk to some other folks who are getting older, they'll say something and then they can't remember what they said that same hour, within that same hour. But, you know, look at man in his prime. He thinks he's something. And he has many devices in his heart. We can give many biblical examples of this verse. But before I do that, today I got a phone call from one of my friends who I was trained with. And he proceeded to tell me what he was going to do. He's going to leave the company after December. And he said, I don't like all the stuff they're doing, so I'm leaving and I'm going to go do this. He thought I might be interested. So he was telling me what he was going to do. He's about 32 years old. He says, I'm going to do this. He said, and then in 10 years, I'm going to do this. He said, in another 10 years, I'm going to do this. And he says, by the time I'm 55, I'm going to retire wealthy. He goes, but money's not everything. But I should do pretty well. So 32 years old, his devices and his thoughts, and there's nothing wrong with planning ahead. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, and contrary to God's will, and how you react to your will and my will getting crossed shows that we're discontent, or shows that we're not casting our care upon Him. We have devices, our devices, what we want, what we think we're going to do. And that was just one example. He called today, and I said, well, for him, I hope it succeeds. And I'm going to take that idea and that thought and his proposal, and I'm going to stick it right back here in case I need it in 6 or 8 months. But that's even my device. That's even my thought. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. So further illustrations to drive the nail fast in this human ability's coffin. You remember Joseph and his brethren? His brethren, they wanted to kill him. They left him for dead. He got sold into slavery. And then years later they met. Second in command. And they were scared to death when he made himself known to them. And he said, you did this for evil, but God meant it for good. The desire of there are many devices in a man's heart. They didn't like him. They didn't like the coat of many colors. They didn't like the fact that his daddy liked him more than the other siblings. All these different things. So they devised a scheme, all of them, against Joseph. They thought he was dead. And years later, there he is, the Lord using him to supply their very needs for existence, food and bread and water. The Tower of Babel. Oh, this is religion today. The Tower of Babel. Man, through cunning and craft and intellect, he's going to ascend to the throne of God. We can do this and we can do that. We can make steeples and churches. We can make all sorts of religious artifacts and things. We can do all sorts of things with our hands. We can do all sorts of things. We can bow certain directions, certain times of the day. We can rub beads. We can walk aisles. We can do all these things to gain access to the throne of God. Tower of Babel. Many devices in a man's heart. And God laughed them in derision. Confounded them. And confused them, and they just were scattered. Absalom, one of David's sons, he was going to take that throne. I want to be the next king, and if I got to kill Dad to get it, I'm going to get it. And what happened? The Lord thought otherwise, and David, after many chases, fights, and struggles. Absalom's going to devise a way to usurp the kingdom, and yet God saw otherwise, and David is restored to his proper position, minus a son, but he restored him to his proper position. Then you got this one called Saul of Tarsus, later became Paul. In the book of Acts, chapter 9, and we've looked at it before, you're going to have to turn there now. Saul. He's going about, his device in his heart was the destruction of Christianity. I'm going to chase them all. I'm going to chase them down. Anyone who names the name of Christ in this gospel. And I'm going to kill them. And he got some of it done. But then he got knocked off his horse. And the Lord in Acts 9 said, Saul, you're persecuting me. He said specifically, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks. You can't do it. Why? Your device is to destroy Christianity. But my counsel is going to stand. Matter of fact, I'm going to use you to build the church like it's never been built before. You bet. You're going to be used to grow the faith that you once tried to destroy. I could go on and on. And even in this present hour, man is trying to impose his puny, insignificant will over the sovereign to no avail. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Secondly, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. I don't know if I'll make any comments, but we're going to look at these passages, if you would. Proverbs 21, verse 30, just to turn one page over. Proverbs 21 and verse 30. The counsel of the Lord shall stand. Look at this. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. It's not going to happen. Isaiah 43. Matt and I were talking about this the other day. The Isaiah 40s. You want to just revel in the sovereign grace of God, absolute predestinating glory of our Redeemer. Just start reading the Psalms from Isaiah 40 and go all the way through to 55. But look at Isaiah 43 and verse 13. Yea, the Lord says, before the day was, I am He, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Or I'll work, and who's going to say you're not going to? I'm going to put my hand over here, and who's going to move it? Nobody. Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10, one we're very familiar with. He says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, you have many devices in your heart, but my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Isaiah 45 and verse 9. Isaiah 45 and verse 9. Woe unto him that strives with his maker. And I don't care if you're the president of the most powerful country in the world. Woe unto him that strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou, or thy work, he hath no hands? Here's one that I hadn't seen before. Look at Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. And then one more that I hadn't seen before. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 37. Who is he that says it comes to pass when the Lord commands it not? Who is he that says it's going to happen when God says it's not? Who is he? Nobody. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, or tried it, the old king. Look at this. This is the kingdom I've made with my hands in that very same hour. Bam. He glorified himself. And then, I can't think, it was a Herod. I can't remember who it was. He gave a great oratory. And they said, oh, this is the voice of a God. And he didn't rebuke them. The Lord smote them. Worms. Mm-mm. There's one God. There's one counsel. And it's going to stand. Now look at this. Job 23. Job chapter 23. Verse 13. Job 23 and verse 13. But he that is God is in one mind, and who can turn him, and what his soul desires, even that he does. Sometimes we can persuade people, we can change their mind. And you can tell some of these high pressure sale techniques, you can persuade people and change their mind and turn their thoughts, but you can tell that they're not really comfortable with it. But one day, we thought evil against the Lord. We devised many things in this thing of salvation and redemption. And then he turned. He turned us. He convinced us. And we weren't upset. We were so thankful that he turned it. Yes, indeed, all may appear cloudy here below, but up in the heavens, it's all clear. And I was reading, looking at some of the stuff Linda and I were talking about last night. I really don't like to fly. You know, we've flown a couple times in these airlines. But I do remember this. When we were flying out from St. Louis to the Grand Canyon, or out that way. The first time we went, it was during the daytime. So I'm sitting there by the window and I'm seeing, you know, moving away from Lambert. My mind's thinking we're going to drop out of the sky any minute. And we go up, and then you can't see nothing. It's clouds. We go up. And then somewhere close over by Vegas and those areas over there, we were above the cloud. And it looked like white, the whitest, pillowiest cotton candy. It looked pure I'd ever seen. But I could not see the ground because it was solid. The sun, and it was the lightest, purest blue. It was so clear. It was so clear. Now, it might be cloudy down here, but not in heaven. His counsel is clear. His counsel shall stand. With God and His mighty grace and His counsel, with the sons of men, all is calm and there's no confusion. And only one can reign. And we're glad, right glad, that it is our God who is our Father, who is our Redeemer, and who is our friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that could be the end of it. Stop right there. But by God's grace, I need help and you need help. We need to now take this. From what I understand, Ralph Barnard used to say this around Henry Mahan all the time. We need to get this stuff out of our head and get it to our heart. Because if I just read this verse, and you believe this, there's not anybody in here. There's not anybody in here who does not believe this verse. Thomas, the apostle, he believed. He was a redeemed man. He believed that Christ was God. He believed in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, without question. But he said, when they told him the good news of his resurrection, that only God could raise from the dead, he said, I'm not going to believe you unless I see. And I think it's in John. I was just looking at it before. It was in the later part of John. And then he called Thomas over. And he said, see? And we don't know if Thomas actually did that. He just said, go ahead and do it. We don't know if he did. But what we do know is that he bowed and said, my Lord and my God. He came to a fuller understanding of the deity of Christ. And if all we have is, oh, I believe Romans 8:28. I could quote it. I would never get that answer wrong in Bible trivia. And that's what our issue is oftentimes. We know that the desire, that there's many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand, and we understand that. But tomorrow, I'm going to need to know this, and I need comfort. And the only way is if God takes these things and goes right here with it. So that's my prayer for you and my prayer for myself, just like Thomas, that he would take this verse and make it real to us like the gospel. Such news that he is in control and that his counsel stands even over our devices when they go astray. That news is so good. That counsel is so cheerful and it's so peaceful. May he give us a fully understanding. And Peter, Melinda and I were talking about this again this afternoon or this evening here before we started. Peter, he knew because he was with Christ that he was to preach the gospel. The gospel was not just for the Jews. It was for the Gentiles. Christ had taught him that and he understood that. He was with them for those so many years. And in that scene in Acts, when that blanket came down, he said, oh, I'm not going to touch this. It's unclean. He said, yeah, it is. And then he realized that was, then he went out and started preaching. He understood it. He was a believer. There's many things in here we understand, but it's here. May God take these verses, these passages, and just lower them down. Because the world, devices just keep coming. They keep coming. But His counsel shall stand. It's such good news. It's such cheerful and a peaceful report. Sinners like you and I need such a one who can and does call, quicken, and redeem. And you add to this, He saves and regenerates those whom He loves. And He specifically tells His people that my counsel shall stand. And His counsel, nobody can challenge it. There is no change in His mind. One of His attributes is He's immutable. There's no changing in His mind, no changing in His actions. Therefore, the Scripture says, and I believe it's in Lamentation, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Why? Because His counsel stands. His counsel doesn't change. It's not hot one day or cold the next. He is immutable, just like His counsel. And therefore, if He is for us, who can, devices and all, be against us? Nobody. Your situation may not change at work, at home, neighborhood, your finances. All that stuff might not change. But when He takes these principles, these teachings, and they go from here to the head, and they go down here, you say, well, as for me, my house, come what may, we're going to serve the Lord. As I said, because devices and all, if He's for us, nobody can be against us. The guy came in the office, sat down. How you doing? You know, the veteran agent, the one that's been there forever. And I don't say anything. I just go about and do my business. Just do my thing. But due to asking other people, he knows who's making what. So he's come, how you doing? You know, kind of quiet. I said, I'm doing fine. Well, no, I mean, how you doing? How's your numbers? Well, they're not good. But I can't prefabricate sales. And I can't beat myself up about it. So I just keep doing my job. Well, that's good. I'm just checking on you. You doing okay? The problem is, he could retire anytime.